The Lord Jesus Christ was always about his Father's business. The Bible tells us here in this 8th chapter, it came to pass afterwards, that Jesus went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Now, of course, the glad tidings is simply the gospel. That's what the gospel means, good news or glad tidings. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he went from village to village and from city to city proclaiming these glad tidings. And I thank God for over 50 years now that God has given me the privilege of doing that very same thing, of proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Christ's redeeming grace. Now it says in verse number 4, there was much people were gathered together. They came, it says, they were come to him out of every city. And so the people had heard the Lord Jesus Christ speak, and they had seen the miracles that he had done. And so the people were anxious to hear him and to see him once again. And the Bible says much people, or in other words, a multitude of people were assembled together. But the sad reality was this, that not everybody that came to see or to hear the Lord Jesus were willing to yield to the glad tidings and the gospel message which the Savior proclaimed. Now, of course, there's nothing new under the sun. There are many people who go to church, and yet they have no intention of ever coming and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. The Bible says that some of the people came because of the miracles that he did. In other words, they wanted to see the miracles that Christ did. There were those, of course, that not only came for the miracles, but those that did come to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, although there was a multitude here, the Lord never was taken with the multitudes. In other words, he wasn't carried away with popularity. Because the Lord knew that there would come a time whenever the multitudes would go away. You read the 6th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, and you'll find that there was a multitude of people who were gathered with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus fed that multitude. There were 5,000 men plus the women and the children. You can imagine the number of people that were there, a multitude, to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Savior fed them. But my friend, it's in that very same chapter, further on down that chapter, in verse number 66, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, from that time, many of them went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus turned to the disciples and says, will ye also go away? In other words, the multitude disappeared. And my friend, let me tell you this, a preacher has got to be very careful. Never be carried away or be swayed by the multitudes. Because remember this, there's only one you have to be faithful to, and that's to the Lord. Because you're answerable to him at the end of the day, because the crowd that applaud you today can curse you tomorrow. So therefore, remember this, never be carried away with the crowd. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that. And the Lord, that's why the Lord Jesus, he spake a parable unto that multitude. And the Lord spoke a parable, and we've read it tonight. It's the parable of the sower and sowing the seed and the harvest that came from the seed. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ looked in, not only into the eyes of the congregation, he looked into the heart of the congregation. And friend, he knew this. He knew that the problem of the heart, or the problem of man's heart, is the real heart of the problem. And as the Lord Jesus looked into that multitude and looked into their eyes, he knew that there were many there that day, and they had no intention. They had no intention of receiving the glad tidings of the gospel or salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so the Savior spake this parable. And I want you to look at it tonight in the ending part of this meeting. Now, the Bible says, if you look in verse number 5, it says, a sower went forth to sow. Now, that's a very simple expression, isn't it? That's a natural thing. Well, that's what a sower would do. He went forth to sow. Now, the Word of God tells us this, my friend. In the exposition of the parable, the Lord Jesus tells us about the soil. The Lord Jesus tells us about the seed, but he doesn't tell us the name of the sower. Now, that's interesting, and the reason for it is this. You see, my friend, this sower will speak concerning anyone who knows the Lord. It is your responsibility to sow the gospel seed. Ye are my witnesses. You're not called to preach, but I can tell you, you're called to be a witness of the Lord. You, as God's child, he says, ye are my witnesses. In other words, you have got to take the gospel to others, whether it be at work, whether it be at school, whether it be at home, wherever you are. You have to sow the gospel seed. And so it not only is anyone who sows a seed, it means everyone who professes faith in Jesus Christ. Because every child of God is to be a sower of the gospel seed. The privilege is this, you know, whenever you not only sow the seed, but then you come rejoicing one day, bringing your sheaves with us. And you sang the hymn tonight, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And friend, the greatest joy that I as a preacher have is this. It's the joy of pointing someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember some years ago, I was in the United States of America, actually was in Washington. And when I was in Washington there with the President of the United States there, I was asked by one of the commentators, "Preacher, tell me this. What would you say is your greatest joy?" We talked about it. He asked me the question, did I ever meet the royal family? I said, yes, I've had lunch with the Queen. I've been in her company quite a number of times. And the other members of the royal family. They said, that must be the most important occasion. I said to him, let me tell you, sir. I'll tell you the greatest joy in all of my life is this. It's when I kneel with a person who's a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and I have the joy of pointing them to Jesus Christ. That's the greatest joy in all the world. There's not a greater privilege in all the world, friend, than to kneel with a lost soul and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ and know someday you'll meet that soul in heaven, saved by the grace of God and washed in the Savior's precious blood. I tell you this, that's the greatest gift that any man can ever receive. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the sower is anyone who's the Lord's child. It can be you, friend. It should be you. You should be seeking to sow the seed. But you notice he tells us what the seed is. If you go down to verse number 11 now, here's the exposition. He says this, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. It's the word of God. And I tell you this, whenever you go forth sowing the gospel seed, my friend, you're not going to try and impress them how great you are. You're not trying to at the end of the meeting to say, listen, my, you're wonderful preacher. You're wonderful. Let me tell you, my friend, it doesn't matter about the preacher. I want people to be able to say, he's a wonderful Savior. That's what I want you to know. I want you to know Christ. I want you to know him as your Savior. And so you're sowing the gospel seed. James 1 verse 18 says this, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Receive with meekness, verse 21, the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. And friend, that's what it's all important. It's the salvation of your soul. Remember what Jesus said. What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world? And he loses his own soul. For what can a man give in exchange for a soul? And my friend, you can give absolutely nothing. There is nothing worth it to lose your soul, to damn your soul in a lost eternity. I don't care what the devil has got to offer you. It's not worth it, person. It's not worth it, man. It's not worth it, woman, to lose your precious soul that will live on for all eternity. And if you're not saved in a Christless eternity. And so there is the sowing of the seed. You know, just as a seed has life in it, farmers, you know what I'm talking about. You sow the seed, but there's life in that seed. It dies in the ground, but then it brings forth because there's life in that seed. So friend, there's life in this book. There's life. This is a living book. The word of God, it says, it's living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the living word of the living God. Thank God it's able to impart life to those who are spiritually dead. But you know, it talks about the soil. It talks about the soil. Seed needs soil. You see, seed without soil is fruitless. Soil without seed It's practically useless. And so we come to the response. One sower, one seed. But friend, you notice there's four soils. One seed, one sower, four soils. And the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about the people, and he was looking into their eyes. Because friend, let me tell you, he was taking the seed, he was sowing it, and every one of those soils were represented in that crowd that day. Every last one of them. And I want us to look tonight, because the burden of the Savior's parable, listen to me, it wasn't the skill of the sower. It wasn't indeed about the beauty or the perfection of the seed, although it is perfect. But the word heart is the key. The heart, the soil, the heart. You know, the preacher can't fix the seed to make it more effective. It's all about the condition of the soil. It's all about the condition of the heart. And as you read this story, friend, listen, and look at it for a few moments with me tonight. I want you to remember this. There was no problem with the sower. He did the faithful sowing. There was no problem with the seed. The seed in every one of the grounds was the same. But the problem was the soil. It was the soil. And there's farmers sitting in this meeting tonight. And let me tell you, my friend, it is so important to remember this. There was something terribly wrong with the soil. And that's where the heart of this message is all about this evening. So what was the soil? Well, there was four different kinds of soil. First of all, there was the callous heart. The callous heart. Let's look at verse number 12. It says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now let's get this. Let's get this. This seed is sown by the wayside. It says this, that speaks about those that hear. In other words, it's not that these people haven't heard. Do you know there are people tonight in this world and they've never heard the gospel? Do you know there are men and women that are living and dying tonight and never once have they been told their need of God's salvation? But the people in this service tonight, you will never be able to say again after this meeting, I never knew. Maybe you're here for the first time. You'll never be able to say I never heard. Because this is God's word that I'm preaching tonight. And every one of these hearers, every one of these hearts, friend, they heard. You notice that it's equal in every one of them. They heard, they heard, they heard, they heard. Yes, they have heard. In other words, seed has been dropped upon their hearts. Now, what does it mean about this hard ground? Let me explain very simply. In the land of Israel, the farms are not like the farms in Ulster. There were no hedges. And there were no walls or fences around the fields. There were long strips of ground. And so therefore, my friend, whenever these long strips of ground, narrow strips were there for cultivation, between those strips, there was about 3 foot of ground, 3 foot wide, where people could walk along. You could walk through the countryside. The farmers could cultivate because they could walk indeed on this ground. But so did everyone else. No fences, no walls existed. Just this path. And you can imagine, here was the ground where people were walking on. It was unplowed. It wasn't like the rest of the ground. It was never plowed. And therefore it was hard when people were walking upon it. It was beaten down. In actual fact, it was as hard as concrete. It was baked with the sun. And that's what it's talked about here. And whenever the farmer was throwing out the seed, some fell by the wayside. Yes, some of it got onto that kind of ground. The ground was hard. You know what happened? The seed never penetrated the ground. It never got down in because the ground was not plowed. It had never been broken up. People had walked across it. Thousands of people had walked upon it. Now let me tell you this. At the very beginning, before that was the pathway, that would have been easy to have broken up. but with so many feet walking over it and so much passing across it, never been plowed, it became beaten down and hardened. And therefore the seed could not penetrate. It was hard, callous, hard like concrete. Why? Because people had trampled the ground under their feet. And friend, let me tell you this. There's many people in this service tonight, and there was a time in your life when you heard the gospel the very first time, friend. Your heart was not hard. But you have heard the gospel over and over and over and over and over again. Some of you, perhaps even like someone, and I can say this at the end of 50 years in Macclesfield, there are people sitting there, friend, faithfully every Sunday, and they're still not saved. 50 years of gospel preaching. And they're hard as nails. They have great respect for the preacher. They have a love for the preacher, and he for them. But friend, the ground of their heart is as hard. And the preacher stands up Sunday after Sunday with a broken heart. And he preaches the glorious gospel of Christ and tell them of Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. But it takes absolutely no effect. Because their heart's hard. It's got hardened. And men and women, let me tell you this. It's very possible someone sitting in this very harvest service tonight, that's your heart. You remember when first you were touched. You remember whenever the word of God was spoken to you. My, there was a concern upon your soul, but you haven't got it anymore. And you can come and you can go from the house of the holy and you can hear the most solemn of messages. You can hear the preacher warn about hell and about the judgment of God for sin. But it's as if it's not you. It's as if it's nothing to do with you. You know what the word of God says? He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. And friend, that's a dangerous place to be. I wouldn't for all the money of the world, all the billions of the world, and I say this honestly before God, not for all the billions of the world would I sit in your shoes or sit in your seat or stand in your shoes. I wouldn't do it. It's an awful place to be. The ground was hard. And men and women, let me tell you, have lived their lives not only having heard the gospel, yes, they've heard it, but they have trampled the gospel under their feet time after time. And they've walked over the blood of Christ time after time. And I tell you, that's not only a tragic place to be, that's a dangerous place to be. Because the word of God says, he that being often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be cut off. And that without remedy. People have said to me at the end of gospel missions that I've held, friend, how can men and women go out of meetings like that? I'll tell you how. Because they've hardened their neck. Said no! No, I will not come to Christ. I sat in gospel meetings, friend. Yes, preached in gospel meetings. And men and women have sat with their hands under their legs, lest their hand would indicate their desire to come to Christ. They've hardened their neck against God. 12th chapter of the book of Luke's gospel tells the story of a farmer. This farmer, my friend, God blessed him. But he never thought of God. He thought it was all of him. And you know, he had so much and was so richly blessed. He had a problem. He didn't know where he was going to put all the goods and all the fruit and bestow all his goods. And then he thought to himself, what am I going to do? He says, I'm going to pull down my barns and I'm going to build greater. And then I'm going to say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. Notice, friend, not a thought of God. God wasn't in a story. But I tell you this, God stepped into a story. He never once mentioned God. And then the Bible says, but God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee.
And then whose were the things? Let me tell you, friend, he left it all. The Lord Jesus Christ was one day preaching, and it's just before he told that story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you study that passage of God's Word, let me tell you, he talked about the fear of man and how that the fear of man can take souls to hell. They're more afraid of man than they are of God. What would man say to me? What would others say to me if I was to get saved in the harvest service in Armagh? They've no thought of what God say in the end of it all. The fear of man. And the Lord Jesus was talking about the fear of man. And he then went on and he talked about hell. He talked about fearing God that can cast both body and soul into hell. And then he went on to talk about the unpardonable sin, where man can sin away his day of grace and opportunity. And God says, my spirit shall not always strike with man. And he talked about the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. All serious business. You say, surely the people will, they'll listen to the, this is the Savior talking. And in the midst of it, one man raised his hand and said, Lord, would you talk to my brother? And would you tell him to divide his inheritance with me? The Lord Jesus was talking about eternal things, and he was thinking of his inheritance. It was as if the Savior had never spoken for him. He talked about sin. He talked about hell. He talked about the unpardonable sin. He talked about the fear of man and about a lost soul. And all the man could think about, get my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And that's when Jesus said, a man's life doesn't consist of the things that he possesses. And he told the story about the rich farmer. Is it possible that you could be sitting in this service tonight and you're thinking more about tomorrow? Maybe plowing the fields. Maybe getting the cattle in. Maybe the work you have to do. Or whether it's listen, and you're more concerned about that than your immortal soul. And one of these days, friend, maybe even tonight, God could say to you, as he said to the man in the scripture, tonight, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. And I want to ask you a straight question tonight. For I didn't come the whole way to Armagh to play games with you. And I trust you'll respect me for that. But I'm asking you this. If God was to call you from this scene of time, this night, tell me, where would you be? It's either heaven or hell, friend. Now, which one? Where would you be? Eternity! Eternity that never ends! Our life's going to end! A few ideas down here is going to end. But your life doesn't end then. You go on eternally. For God breathed into man and became a living soul. And God has set eternity in your heart. And friend, there was a day you began. But I'm telling you straight now, there'll never become a time that you'll not be. Because you're going on forever. Your soul will go on forever. And one day God will require your soul. And one day you'll stand before God. And here's this callous heart. And friend, to be honest, they hadn't a thought of God. Why? Because the ground was as hard as concrete. And yet he heard the word. He heard it. Notice the second one quickly. There's not only the callous heart, there's the careless heart. The Lord talks about this ground, and the Bible says that it was rocky ground. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Now listen, notice it, they hear. And they hear, but notice, they hear and receive the word with joy. Now let me explain that to you. In the land of Palestine, there was limestone rock, but you know, there's a thin layer of soil on the top of it. Just a thin layer.
And quite a part of the ground, that thin layer of soil. Now, the soil is sufficient for the early sprouting of the seed. In other words, the plant comes up quickly. In actual fact, the limestone rock underneath sends and assists the seed to get warm. And therefore sprouts quickly. But there's no depth. There's no depth. And there's no moisture. And you know what happens, friend? Under that hot sun, it just dies. What kind of a heart is that? You see, men and women can come to a meeting. And friend, they're easily impressed. But there's no depth of conviction. No conviction. Now, there can be tears. Ah, yes, whenever they're confronted with their sin and they realize that their sin's an awful thing, that God hates their sin and God will judge their sin. And then they hear that God can forgive your sin. But I want to tell you, my friend, for God to forgive your sin, you've got to repent of your sin. You've got to turn from your sin. Men and women think, well, listen, I just say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, forgive me. And then I can just go back and live whatever way I like. And just do whatever I like. But I made a profession. But friend, let me tell you, that's all it was. It was an empty profession. Yes, they received it with joy. You know, there's some people that are led away today. And I come to Christ, does that mean, well, I'll get a better life, I'll have a good time, I'll be blessed, and I'll have happiness, and my, there'll be no more problems, and all my difficulties will be solved, and all my trials will be finished. There's a kind of a message going around in certain places, it's called prosperity gospel. You come to Jesus and you become prosperous. Some people have got this idea, come to Jesus and you'll be happy, wealthy, and everything else will just be rosy in the garden. Let me tell you what Jesus says. He says, if you're coming to follow me, he says, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. The Lord Jesus said, or the word of God says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But praise God, it goes on to say, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Listen to me carefully. There was no problem with the seed. There was no problem with the sower. There was no problem with the sun. But there was a problem with the soil. Because there was no depth. And I say to you honestly before God, friend, what men and women need, they need to be convicted of their sin. There need to be a genuine conviction. When man realizes that not only does God hate your sin, and that God will judge your sin. Yes, God will forgive your sin. But for God to forgive your sin, you've got to turn from it to him. You've got to turn your back and sin. You've got to agree, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. We have got to agree with God concerning our sin. Entering into agreement with God and turn from your sin. And that's a message that's not often preached today, is repentance. But this is what Jesus said. Except you repent, you'll perish. It's essential. You've got to turn from your sin, friend. And I ask you before God, as you hear the word of God tonight, are you willing to repent of your sin and turn from your sin and turn to Christ? Have done with your sin. You can't have the Lord in this hand and the world in that hand, friend. As we'll see, let's quickly go to the next seat. It says this, they that fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard, notice again, heard again, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection. In other words, this is the thorny soil. Now there's deep soil here. There's deep soil, but there's a problem. The soil's already occupied. You see, sometimes what people do is this. And it's a foolish farmer who would do this, friend. Listen, he's going to sow a seed, but listen, he forgets really about the ploughing, much about the ploughing. What he'll do is this, he'll cut the top of the ground. He'll cut the top. In other words, he'll get rid of all the weeds and the thorns and thistles on the top of the ground, but he forgets the roots are still there. And men and women, let me tell you this. You can't serve God and mammon. Here's a person, let me tell you, it's like the man in the scriptures in Mark's Gospel chapter 10. He come running to the Lord Jesus Christ, this rich young man, and he falls down at the feet of Jesus, and he looks into the eyes of Christ, dead earnest, and he said this, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now he knew that eternal life was needed. And he says, "How can I inherit eternal life?" Jesus looked into the eyes of that young man. Listen, he said this to him. This is what Jesus said. He says, "Sell all you have and give to the poor." You say to me, "But is that not works?" What was the Lord Jesus saying there to that young man? Jesus knew that in that young man's heart there was already a God. And his God was his possessions. And friends, let me tell you this. Thou shalt have no other God before me. You can't have it both ways. You can't have a foot in both camps, friend. And there were weeds and there were thorns already in the ground, friend. And they would soon spring up and they would crush the life out of the plant that was seeking to come up. Two crops competing for the same sun, the same energy, the same food in the soil. And here's a person trying to have the best of both worlds. And the Lord Jesus said, he brought no fruit to repentance. You see, when the young man heard that from the lips of the Lord Jesus, this is what it said this. It says, and he went away. Listen to me. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to give up the God that was already on the throne of his life. Do you know why people are not saved tonight? Because they're not willing to give up their sin. That's it. They're not willing to give up their sin. Their sin is their God. And they're not willing to have done with. And Jesus said, no fruit. But here's the last thought. Not only have we the callous heart and the careless heart and the crowded heart, thank God we have the converted heart. But verse 15, but on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, there's they have heard it too. He says, having heard the word, keep it. Keep it. In other words, they hold it fast. And it says, they bring forth fruit with patience. The good ground. It was the same seed, friend. It was the same sower. It was the same sun. But only one ground. One soil that was prepared and brought forth fruit. I asked you before God as we finished now, what's your heart like? Where do you stand in the story? You see, this story is about people like you and me. Just like you and me. The Lord knew exactly what was in their hearts. Listen, just the same as the Lord knows exactly what's in your heart. Thou, God, seest me, thou knowest me, altogether. And God knows all about you, friend. But remember, your greatest need is God's salvation. God's salvation. Listen to what Jesus said again. What shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world? If you got it all, friend. Now listen, and you won't. You might get your wee bit. But what would it profit you if you got it all? And it cost you your soul. Jesus said to the rich man, you're only a fool. Only a fool. And friend, he thought he was wise. He had thought through the whole thing. He had settled it. I'm going to pull down the barns. I'm going to build greater. And then I'm going to sit back. I'm going to enjoy it all. But there's no God in the story. But God stepped in that night. And God says, friend, fool, I'm taking you from it all. I remember the day my dad was buried. I looked down from the graveside where I was standing beside my father as we were sowing his body in the ground, earth to earth and dust to dust. And from where I was standing at my father's grave, I could look down on the home farm my father built, worked hard, built up the farm to leave it to my brother and me. He worked from dawn to dusk. I looked in the fields that he used to plough. And then I stood there in an open grave and I looked in, friend. And he left all the acres behind. And there was just a little plot, 6x3. Doesn't own anymore. That's the only plot to his name. And friend, let me tell you, you're no different. And you might think that you'll do all these things in the world and you'll beat sickness and everything else. But I tell you, when God calls, you go. But the question is, where to? Eternity. Where will you be in eternity when the harvest of life is gathered in, friend? And the God of the harvest brings in the last sheaf. Tell me. Where will you be? I beg you in God's name. Be sure you're saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you.